Thinking Cast is brought to you by GiantBomb.com. Please consult with your web engineer if you want to get GiantBomb.com or the Lincoln Force.
Shouldn't that be in Top Men?
I don't know.
That's actually not true. We're not getting paid.
No,
we're brought to him.
If we associate it like that, like they're paying us, it's probably not legal if we say that, is it?
No. But I don't think legality has ever really become
a thing. They're CBSI now. Of course, we're not getting paid and we're not charging people for this.
I mean, you guys aren't getting paid.
And you're not charging people.
No, I don't know what you're talking
about. I'm getting paid in food.
You know what? We'll talk about things paid in Bitcoin. A lot of time.
That's nice.
Joined with me is my name is Thurbleton. This is episode something for the
40.
Are we
41? No, we are not 40.
We're 41. Past 40, aren't we?
Yeah, I think this is 41.
We took last week off recovering from the live show.
Yep.
We did do an anime cast, and I hope everyone enjoyed it.
Wait, did you?
Yeah. Right. Me and Cynic were on there.
I blew our cover, didn't I?
You blew a cover completely. Some fucking shit.
So, Cynic, what's up, sir? How you doing?
I have a plug to put at the top of the episode because I want as many people
possible
to hear it.
Yet.
I already plugged Giant Bomb, so.
Well, mine's plug is similar. Tested.com is a website about technology.
Wait, you mean Will and Norms Tested.com?
No, he means Jamie and Adam.
Jamie Adam, yeah. That Tested.com.
So take all that knowledge of technology and just throw out the window. They did a dadcast this week. That was awesome. It's it was Vinny Caravella, Dave Snyder, Jeff Green, and Will Smith talking about being dads. And it was like one of the most enjoyable things.
Most of them talking about dads. Snyder, soon to be dad.
Yeah, soon to be dad. And it was one of the most.
He still has the chipper and just the excitement. I don't know what I'm in for.
Exactly,
just beaten down.
And
awesome.
Fucking, he's closing in. It's like his due date's a month out, so it could be like any moment now. Because goddamn it, early births are freaky as fuck. The best thing about that is none of it is irrelevant to me. Yeah.
Are you not
going to
plug the Let's Play we've been spilling our blood for?
It'll go up. At the last two episodes that will go up when this goes up to our YouTube. So that's youtube.com/thelinkingcast, I believe. That's Let's Play Had a Full Boyfriend that me and Noob finally finished. And we're going to put that.
I've stopped urinating blood after we finished that.
Are we just getting plugs out of the way now while we got.
Want to talk about that because the Vinny stuff. Yeah, I just love hearing Vinny talking about his time with Max. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, we probably should do plugs at the beginning when people are listening.
Nah.
Shinboy, what plugs do you have? Shinboy of the Lincoln Cast. How you doing,
the
sir?
Only plug that I of the Lincoln Cast have. Oh, shoot, that's not
true.
This
is the important one. No, just do the important one.
Plug and Play Gaming? Or
No, well, that's going to plug in. I'll be reviewing games because there's actually games coming out in March
that
I'm playing.
But in no way is that one important.
also Durin, who is not here, is playing games this month.
Yeah,
anyway,
he is, probably.
Because I gave him authorship, but also the important one is that, 2 weeks? 2 weeks from, I guess, when we're recording this. So this is, Saturday?
Sure.
And the end of March.
Yeah, it's the 23rd, I believe, of March. We will be doing the Lincoln Cast Live from PAX East. It's going to be a disaster.
That's
going to
be
great.
Yep.
And the best
by that,
always are a disaster.
He does not mean we have a panel or anything, or even the an audience involved. It'll just be
no,
not at all.
Unless Shinboy just does it out in the street in front of his hotel, just people walking by.
What he means is Twitch channel.
Shinboy, not talking about not appearing for the podcast, but will there be a Lincoln Cast meetup for anybody going to PAX East? I saw a few people who were Giant Bomb enthusiasts at the comic convention, but no Lincoln Foresters out there.
Yeah, I mean, aside from Giant Bomb stuff, I don't believe so. Tweet at me or tweet at the Lincoln Cast more specifically, and I will look.
Maybe just we can backpack onto the Giant Bomb after party.
Yeah.
Well,
man,
you guys can.
The one
I'm not
thing
going.
That I would go to the States for is jobs. And aside from that, it would be
money.
The Giant Bomb
the bitches.
Meetups. Those sound like so much fun, but I never get to make it. For obvious reasons.
Unfortunately. But yeah, it'll be most likely on my Twitch, which is twitch.tv/shinboy630. I think. I don't know whose computer we're going to be using, honestly.
You'll probably
figure it out.
Yeah.
Not counting like special exceptions like a convention podcast. I think if we do any more live ones, we'll probably use the Lincoln Cast Twitch and like announce that through
Probably.
Twitter.
I don't know. Sure.
That's still a big if.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It was still my turn. So what I've been playing this week was...
I'm just going through the introduction still. I mean, we got...
Really? Yeah, what the fuck are you doing, Cynic?
There's this guy
here named
New Brahma as well.
Yeah. Hi.
But no one cares about you anyway.
Okay, thank you, New Brahma. Now, Cynic, what have you been playing?
I just played the first half, I hope, of Mass Effect Citadel, or Mass Effect 3 Citadel. So,
like the first half, as in, like, you hope you're halfway done with this, or
no? Well, kind. All right. So
I've been hearing decent things.
So
I've been
it opens
decent things, but also very campy things.
It opens with the part which is usually at the end of the Mass Effect DLCs, in that it opens with the combat. It like you pretty much get to the Citadel, stuff happens, and then for the first like 3 to 4 hours, I think 2.5. If I looked at my game clock, it's shooting. It's just like a normal. But the good thing is, aside from like other Mass Effect like DLCs, which I've experienced in the past, the shooting in this isn't just like hallway crawling. It's actually like got a semblance of a Star Trek like plot with like ridiculous stuff happening along the way and cameos by old characters, and you get to hit spacebar to mingle.
What? That sounds
so
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's this,
is that
a
sexual term?
Is there a new Shepard dance?
I know. One of the mingle options is to dance. It was not a new dance. I can confirm that. But I did get to boogie. It was good.
You got to do the Shepard. Everyone likes to do Shepard.
Yeah, and it was a nice mix of relatively boring. Decent. I've forgotten how, like, it's not good, but it's, like, competent. The Mass Effect shooting system is
not a good thing to say.
The Mass Effect, like I thought, the Mass Effect 2 shooting, if I assume they kept it the same for 3, felt really good.
Well, 3 felt better than 2. I don't think it's up there with like an actual fucking first person or third person shooter that I've played. Like,
okay,
it's better than Uncharted. It feels better.
That's because you can use a mouse with Mass Effect.
Exactly, which I do. Thank you very much. God damn it. What the fuck?
So don't get angry at me. I agree with you.
No, yo, I cannot stand. I like. Why would people play Mass Effect on anything but a PC? I've seen how it looks on consoles, and that alone would make me transfer over. But the controls are just so much better on PC. Anyway, it was a good amount of. Well, I'm a console gamer, and I'm still. Anyway, there's a good amount of like.
Still be a one-sided argument.
Shooting and then. Lulls and then shooting and then Rex jumping out of a window and beating up a fucking car full of people and then shooting and then cool stuff happens.
It's like it's the Die Hard video game.
Yeah, it's the Die Hard Mass Effect side quest that I didn't know I wanted until after it happened. But the reason I got that like the entire DLC in the first place was none of that. I did not that even though I enjoyed it, that was not what I came to it for. I came to it for the promise of hanging out with people on the Citadel, and I just got to that part of the DLC, which again, I was expecting that to be first, but it happens after the shooting. And I'm not sure if it was worth it, because if that is actually why you're coming into Citadel, it doesn't appear to be more than like an extra minute or two with each of the characters that you wanted to hang out with. But then... there's like cool stuff like I've just been in spoilers. So I've just been invited to the memorial service for Thane, which I've yet to go to. So maybe stuff like that would be really cool.
I mean, I haven't played Mass Effect 3, but that's not a massive spoiler, seeing as when you first meet him in 2, he's like, "Yo, I'm dying."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's really cool.
Well, it could be like. Found a space cure. It's gonna be
found
okay.
A space cure.
Out of all of that, really I just like that you actually paused.
Yeah.
When you said spoiler.
Yeah. but yeah, it was. So I hope for more good things. It was worth the $14 or whatever it was I paid for it. But had I known how it was before I bought it, I wouldn't have bought it. So I just wanted to get the info out there. Aside from that, yeah, Mass Effect 3 is still good, you guys. It's not as good as Mass Effect 2, but it's pretty good.
Sweet. But like this is it. There's going to be, well, they say there'll be no more DLC after this.
Yeah, and there's rumors.
It's Mass Effect 4 now.
There's rumors at the end of this hints towards a prequel, which I don't know.
From what I read or what I have been reading about that DLC, it seems like a lot of people just seemed like it was maybe, okay, this is our last shot with Shepard. Let's do something fun.
Yeah, and it was definitely, there is a twist in there, which was like, holy Star Trek. You just, yeah, well done. You just did that. I did not expect that at all. So there's a proper ass, proper twist. There's like, yeah, just stupid fun. No way even remotely connected to anything to do with the main plot, which is kind of what I want from Mass Effect.
The tone is like completely different.
Yeah, and I totally agree with the guys in the Bombcast, which is like, if they did a series of like these, like Mass Effect shorts or vignettes, I'd be way happy with the series going forward, even though I know they're going to launch a new trilogy. It's going to be a new trilogy. Come on, it's obvious by now that they're going to do a new trilogy. So, but hey, I love the universe, so I want to see more of it. Aside from that, I've now lost 4.5 kilos. No, 2.5 kilos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
4.5 pounds or something close to that.
Conversion.
You've been working out, lost some weight.
Yeah. So in answer to the Thurbleton, he keeps bugging me over Steam, asking me if I'm running. Yes, I am running. I've nice.
Jogging, running, or speed walking?
Definitely not speed walking. It would be jogging now. Like if I was to actually draw a chart of where I am on that chart with 12 kilometers to 15 kilometers an hour being running, I'm not quite close to there. I'm at 9 to 10 kilometers an hour. So I guess I'm jogging.
Just like, let's be honest, people don't fucking sprint when they go out for a run. Yeah. They jog.
Yeah, they jog. So it's been interesting getting fit again. So
want to go out for a sprint sometime, Zinnick?
I just like this just seems like the perfect segue, but I too have been I've been working out. I've been rock climbing both in the real world and in game. In that I've been playing Tomb Raider.
Oh, you've been playing Tomb Raider? Oh, you didn't say that before the podcast. Pig.
But
on PC?
On PC. Sadly, not sadly. I fucking love my NVIDIA card.
No, but it works on NVIDIA. Doesn't it?
It doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, like, I can run it, but there's definitely some screen tearing and choppiness.
And by it, we mean Tress Effects.
Yeah, sorry. Tress FX. Okay. The Pantene Pro V commercial.
Okay, hold
for...
on. Let's stop this for a minute. All we need to have a serious debate.
Sure.
What is a worse name? Tress FX or PhysX?
Oh, fuck.
PhysX is so much better than Tress Effects. Come on.
Which is a dumber name?
Tress FX is a dumber name. Only because in this instance it has nothing to do with what it is. Like I know it probably has something related to how they're doing the hair computation physics, but at least PhysX tells me what it is.
I think PhysX is way dumber because they could have just called it like NVIDIA Physics, but no, it is PhysX.
But wasn't it like
PhysX sounds cool?
But wasn't it originally not NVIDIA and then they bought the PhysX company?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was.
PhysX reminds me of something like the 90s when everything had those like dumb names.
But that's kind of where it originates, right? Like it came up when X was still a cool letter to use in your thing's name.
You mean all the time? Because X is still a cool letter.
X makes it sound cool.
X does make it sound edgy. Cool.
No, but I believe Shinbo, have you been playing Tomb Raider as well?
No.
I really love X-Men.
Just me. All right.
How's Tomb Raider?
It's fine.
I really wanted it, but I bought other games instead.
It's very much reminiscent of just like older games, in a good way. It brings back a lot of the things that where you actually have to loot corpses to like you get salvage off them to upgrade your weapons, which that concept I understand. Her hanging out at a campfire, adding a like part to a gun out of just nowhere just doesn't make as much sense, but. Yeah, there's a lot of cheesy stuff
I'm trying to remember what my feelings were about it because I was not excited for Tomb Raider at all going forward because even though I was like I loved my PS1 and the PS1 was like my seminal gaming platform and that's why I mainly play games and consoles today, I never played Tomb Raider. Like Tomb Raider was never my thing. It's just for whatever reason I never liked the character design back in the day with the stupid overly curvaceous woman who was clearly
the triangle.
That, I'm not a big fan of platformers, so I really never.
Well, I loved platformers. The scene of
it is exciting. I kind of want to play it.
I love Mario.
I just want you to say that again, Sina. Can you say I love platformers one more time?
I love platformers.
It's so weird.
What?
You hate platformers in Guild Wars.
That's why I hate platforming in MMOs, because I'm used to Mario and like proper platformers where. And when in the conversion to 3D, where there's so much assistance now in actual platformers to help you platform in any form of rhythm, that MMOs just don't do it for me because they just don't have the same. They're not built for platforming. Platforming is just kind of shoehorned into MMOs. So if there was a game out there that was like a rock climbing platforming game, you and I would probably enjoy it together. But
yeah, this is not it. No. All but right. I do want to talk yeah. about the rock climbing thing, because that's actually why I got it. Like, it's I don't mind really? The whole adventure style games, but what I really liked was the trailer we saw of her climbing that, not lighthouse, the beacon for the like the radio signal, the radio right. tower.
Sure.
That like when you rock climb, there's the actual like the physical act of rock climbing, but then another thing is. The puzzle aspect of it, of like which pathway do you need to take, and only people who are like seasoned rock climbers will see stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you try, like I think trying to show that in a video game is not the right pathway of doing things. But then the other thing is the sense of exposure, which right. I think this game does like a really good job capturing.
It's
like you're out there in the elements. It's like putting the camera right next to Lara and. The wind, you feel like you're going to get knocked off a lot.
Well, it's, like, if you go look at the giant bomb quick look, which is close to the start of the game at the top, they have that bit at the start of the game where she's just come out of the cave and she's fucking cold.
Yeah.
And that mm-hmm. was totally effective. 100% yeah. effective. You felt cold watching her feeling cold,
right.
which is awesome. Like they nailed
it. Like, it seems very cinematic, is what I'd say, from all of the gameplay.
Like they do take a lot from... Uncharted, I think, and that it is cinematic. A lot of the things, like the rock climbing, all you have to do is just keep pressing forward or occasionally press.
Seems a lot more brutal, though, than Uncharted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's definitely like, oh, they're humanizing her, and it's like, oh, I've taken so much damage, and I'm getting gunshot.
Are you experiencing the narrative dissonance that Brad described?
I'm not sure if I am. All I can say is that whenever I've played, I feel like I'm on autopilot sort of thing.
Right.
And... I'm not like, I'm taking that as it is. I'm like, okay, when I want to feel like I'm an autopilot, when I want to just kill an hour or something, I'll delve into the story.
Sure.
Almost like reading a book. Like, there's no challenge to it. When okay. I was fighting 8 guys, I hit around a corner and they would all slowly walk up to me and I'd shoot them with a shotgun.
Oh, no. Is that bad AI? That's sad.
So it's like playing one of the
maps. It made me miss Half-Life with how good that AI was.
Right.
And how good the map design, like, oh, we're not going to rush this door. We're just going to completely circle the building and shoot you through windows.
So are you bowing it up, or are you...
I'm trying to bow as much as I can, but it's right. annoying where, like, oh, I shot this guy in the head with a bow and arrow, and his mask fell off.
But, you know
now
what?
Now I have to shoot him in the head again.
You know what? If in a lot of cases, not all, because there's some pretty high-tension bows out there, but... For the bow that she's using, which is just a fucking wood... Like, do you ever get a better bow? You do, right? You can upgrade your bow.
Yeah, you have the crappy bow, and then you get... I think there's 3 bows you get.
Right, because the bow you start with, which just looks like a makeshift bow made of, like, a springy yeah. wood.
Then you get a proper bow that is, like, Robin Hood style. And
right.
And I remember
seeing
footage
bow,
of...
You get a composite bow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brad shows...
Like a compound bow?
Yeah. Which is... Not so, like... Well, it's a composite compound bow. Yeah, you're right.
It's composite.
He's making fun of the way you say things.
Oh, right. I was referring to the material Shinboy was referring
inverted
to.
Inverted commas.
The
please
pool,
continue your story
structure.
Rather than
anyway. The point
inverted
is
commas.
Any bow below that composite compound bow probably wouldn't go through. Like the arrow probably wouldn't go through a proper. Ballistic
it's
shielding. A ballistic shielding mask. So, that makes sense.
Well, yeah. I am on the composite bow, though, now. And it's
oh, right. And it still doesn't go through masks?
No, it doesn't even like stagger them back. It falls off and they just.
I'm surprised they didn't put a crossbow in that game.
like in Plast versus Zombies.
I don't really want to focus on that like precise aspect. It's annoying, but at the same time, it's like, oh, all I have to do is just hide behind this corner and they'll walk up and I shotgun them.
Right.
So that's fun. The story is pretty good. I want to say I'm like 40% through it, and it starts off with that realism and then goes into the Tomb Raider esque, like some things are magical.
Well, Tomb Raider that as well.
By a large stick.
Sorry, what was that?
Everyone talked at once. Something about a large stick and
New Brahma.
No. Like she's like falling down this waterfall. And there's this like giant metal fucking pole, and it impales her through the throat.
That's like the opening of the game, right? That's like near the start.
That's one thing. There's one time I was going down a river, and like depending on the pathway I took, I always ended up running into this debris that would like pipe size just impale me. That was not cool.
My problem. Conan O'Brien video, and I don't really like Conan O'Brien, but when he reviews games, I find him quite funny.
That I was okay with. It was the same, sort of like the Conan O'Brien thing, where there was this part early on where I got attacked by a wolf, and like the order of things were like it was a QTE, so you had to like go hit left and right very quickly to shake the dog off your leg, and then you just start stabbing it with a knife. The thing was I would be going like a madman left and right, and it just wouldn't register that I was doing that, and I would just get like bit in the neck by the wolf.
You were going too fast.
I was going too fast, I guess.
Man,
I was going too fast with Laura with the legs.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Stop right there!
I don't like anything about what they did with the impaling part at the start of the game.
Yeah, neither do I.
Like,
I don't. I just wish that they would have a smarter system where, like, okay, you failed this 5 times. We're gonna make this a lot easier now. This 6th time, or we're just gonna amnesia thing.
It's like making games easier because if
well,
it's
no, it's not easier. It's the amnesia thing where like you get that tense thing of fighting the monster the first time. You have to fight that monster 6 times to get past it, it becomes less a fear thing and more a very annoying hated thing where like I'm not scared anymore. I want to get past this guy.
And
lets you fucking play the game. The game plays the game for you or something like that.
No, you just like you skip the scene or like the quick play.
Have you played any of the Uncharted games, Therps?
I was with friends who were playing it. I've never delved into it just because again, that's PlayStation and Sony and I never invested money in it.
So that's very much an Uncharted thing where there's a big like, oh man, this helicopter's chasing you and you need to do all this like platforming while game is auto running you. But the thing is, it's the same thing where like you see all the big explosions 4 times because you failed it 4 times, it's not nearly as impressive and it's just annoying.
But I think Uncharted did just a fucking better job because I've only in the 3 Uncharted, no, sorry. 2 Uncharted games I've played, one of which I played twice, which is Uncharted 2. I never only failed one of those sequences, which was in the first game, I think it was, where there's a Jeep chasing down a stairwell. And I love being able to say that out loud because that's one of the best. Oh, video games. Jeeps chasing you down stairwells. But yes, it was. I think that were there. Either that they didn't implement too much in the way of fail states and they allowed you to just stop wherever and just not do that well but still get through it. Or just for some reason, I just felt better with the Uncharted stuff. Not to say I've played Tomb Raider because I don't know if I'm interested. I don't know if I'm interested. I think I played that game before with Uncharted.
I'm going to play that game eventually.
I don't mind. Like, if you like old games like, I don't know, Freedom Fighters or...
Oh, Freedom Fighters is such a dumb game.
There's nothing like Freedom Fighters, though.
Well, no, the fighting aspect, the shooting of, like, you... Like, Laura cannot get in close. And as, like I said, I'm 40% through. I'm not sure how the upgrade system works because I'm looking for upgrades where, like, when I dodge an attack, I can stab him with an arrow like Brad did in the quick look.
Yeah.
And I'm still not finding stuff like that, so I have to stay far away.
Right. Oh, well, I thought that was the close to the top. Like that was, he pretty much said like the counter system. Well, he said he plays the game with a large portion of his gameplay in melee, which sounded interesting. That sounded like Uncharted to me.
Yeah, I can't comment about that because I haven't gotten through. So I guess take my like review of it with a grain of salt because I haven't finished.
Sure.
But. I'm enjoying the game still. There's definitely things I'm like, oh, I would love to see this improved and done a smarter way, but it's definitely not bad.
Right.
I mean, if you are having trouble, if you do get the game and are just like getting completely stuck on something, just take a break from it, because that's all you can do with any puzzles. Right. But actually, I've run through like two or three actual puzzles, like puzzles, not quick time events.
So my feeling, not a lot. That is with Antichamber happening relatively recently, and like the resurgence of exploration games coming back up, and games that just don't have any combat in them, which I love. I would love to see the return of proper ass fucking puzzles in these kinds of games. Like I hated what they did in Uncharted 2. And because in Uncharted 2, they give you a notebook, and the notebook essentially tells you step by step how to solve the puzzle. And from what I've heard about Tomb Raider, the puzzles aren't that difficult either, like at all. Is that what you experienced?
Yeah, I think for their first game, they didn't want to make anything too hard. They want to make an enjoyable experience.
Sure.
Hopefully with future games, they'll like throw in a lot more puzzles. And hopefully there'll be demand for it. I don't know.
Man.
But yeah, that's Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing I can say about the rock climbing is if they did something more akin to like Mirror's Edge, where you have a climber's vision instead of just, hey, this whole wall is, you know, you can rock climb on it with a pickaxe.
I am this close to buying Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
Because it was Kevin Van Ord in the recent GameSpot podcast. He played back the music, the main theme song for that game. And it is so good. I opened up Steam and I was like 10 seconds from buying Mirror's Edge.
I own that game. I'm going to play that game eventually.
It's good.
Yeah, I've heard of it. You know,
another good game is Hawken.
Okay, good, because if you're transitioning to the other game we're talking about, I would have said, that's questionable, but no, okay.
Hawken had a update recently.
Sure.
And it's like, it's a mech shooter, but at the same time, it's just a big shooter. There's not a lot about mechs in there, other than you feel giant and slow.
Yep.
In a good way. They had a big patch that adds taunts, which are really cool. They've added a server browser. Which, like, they're, and then
it's essential.
Yes, very much so. When they go from open beta to live, and then they added a new map. It's fun, but I don't know. I didn't play too much into it. I only played the 3-point like, it's missile command, but it's just you hold 3 points sort of thing. But they didn't have set spawns, which was really weird.
Hmm.
Which, like, the other few maps they have for Missile Command, like the three-point defense, they have set spawns. So I was running into things, like, where I would spawn and be surrounded by the enemy and just get spawn camped for, like, 2-3 deaths, and then it would move me to another spawn. So hopefully they'll fix that out, because it's still that map is still very much in beta, but it reminded me a lot of Forest of Niphilel.
Right.
Just with the general design of it.
Cool.
Anybody who doesn't know, that's a map in Guild Wars PvP. You should play that. So.
Yeah, the game.
Please tell me everyone listening knows about that map.
I know about that map.
The other thing I want to talk about is the taunts. Because like I've said, they're doing a very much a model like League of Legends, where like it's you most of the stuff you can only buy with actual money is cosmetic. And then most of everything else, like the new mechs they're releasing all the time, are in-game currency or real money stuff. Taunts are the same way. They have like just your mech does a dance or does a bow, but then they have these e-holograph things that are really campy and fun, but they're limited use. And like this is the first free-to-play game I've heard do stuff like that. Have you guys heard of anything that does that?
I mean, TF2 does taunts. I don't know if you can buy additional ones or not.
But yeah, well, not only that, but like when you get those taunts, they're permanent, right?
Yeah, I don't even know if there are different taunts. I just know there are taunts.
This is just like a graphic thing that when I kill somebody, it like one of them is a chicken will show up, and it's just like a very almost chibi style, but at the same time, like
so Japanese.
Yeah, well, like chibi and but a graphic from Cowboy Bebop sort of thing. So it's like holographic, and it's just dancing from side to side, and it says "Better cluck next time."
I'm shaking.
It's really dumb.
It is really dumb.
Yeah.
All of them are really dumb.
I was going to ask why the fuck you're excited about taunts, but sure.
No, let's move on from this. I don't want to hear any more of these bad jokes.
Okay. Why was there a nuclear reactor in Prague in 1983? To keep the Russians in check.
God.
So, Shimboy, what have you been playing?
God, no. Oh, check. I don't even want to talk about it after that. I've been continuing my grand tradition of playing a lot of games, but not a whole lot of any of them.
Sure. Pretty much the opposite of how I play games, but you're okay.
Yeah. I started Binary Domain. That's a video game.
That
game's only like 5 hours long. I can't believe you haven't finished it.
I mean, I started it like last night.
Okay. It is nice that we have two games that are in the year of the bow.
Another game that I just got the bow, which definitely did not come out during the year of the bow, is BioShock.
Yay! Oh,
I just got the crossbow.
Oh, okay.
Man, like, I was iffy on it at first, but now, like,
Just to be sure, since we're close to the release of another one, this is BioShock, the original, not BioShock.
Yes.
Not BioShock.
I figured I should play it. I should play it before Infinite comes out, just to, even though they're not connected story-wise, just to get a feel for how Ken Levine makes games.
How do you know that?
Well, yeah, like, because you can then compare with fresh eyes, because, like, Levine always says, like, oh, it's very much a BioShock world, even though mm-hmm. it's BioShock canon. Sort of.
I can now know what that means.
That's cool.
And out of the other three of you, how many of you have, like, played BioShock?
I've delved a little bit into it. I'm past the first boss, the Surgeon.
Okay, so you're not nearly as far as I am.
No.
Okay, because I'm in Fort Frolic, which is the main dude there, is like very theatrical, and I love theatrical villains. I mean, I don't really know if he is a villain.
I mean, okay. I just want to say like my favorite boss in the realm of theatrical bosses is the Great Mighty Pooh.
Okay.
From Conker's Bad Fur Day. I just felt I needed to say that. That's the best boss in the world.
I have never played Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah.
Neither have I.
Just watch the video. That's all you
Let's
need
put it
to
this
do.
Way. This whole level is basically a theater.
That's awesome.
Cool.
And like the area surrounding the said theater, and the task that he sets you on is there's a stage in like the atrium of the theater,
mm-hmm.
and you have to go kill and photograph, like three of his understudies, and put their photographs on this giant like collage thing. That's his task for you. It's really dark. But, like, a lot of the level, there's, like, it's a theater district, like, there's spotlights.
Dark as in, like, dark feel or dark as in, like, because one of the awesome things about BioShock was how they played with the lighting effects. And so is it, like, this dark feel but at the same time brilliant lighting?
Yeah, because it being a theater district and a theater area, there are a whole bunch of spotlights. And the way it'll work is if, like, enemies are crawling on the walls or whatever, the spotlight will follow them. Sweet. And if there's no enemies, the spotlight will follow you.
That's awesome.
You'll be walking around this really dark area with just this ring of light around you, and you'll be seeing your own shadow and everything.
So
that's really ominous. That's nice.
So are you more excited for BioShock Infinite now that you've played more of BioShock?
I could not be more excited for BioShock Infinite.
I don't know if I'll play that game. I never played one because I hate the art style. And
I will play one just because like it's going to remind me of Bastion and Floating Cities and all that.
Art Deco has never been. I've always hated Art Deco and underwater Art Deco with like
the fucking, underwater isn't really a factor for most of it.
And just the lighting. I respect the lighting, but that game always looked weird to me. Like things seemed a bit too shiny. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like a feel. It looks like there's a film over everything for some reason.
It's intentional.
Yeah, I guess.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I didn't. I know I'm in the minority, but for some reason, the ad for BioShock Infinite, with its like fantastic cutting music and all the other stuff, made me all the way interested in BioShock Infinite out of nowhere. So
that game has had some of the best advertising I've seen for a video game in a long time.
I really like the 80s like educational special.
Yeah. Those are really good.
PBS.
That game overall has had probably the best trailers collectively game I've seen in a long time.
So maybe
I've been playing that. I've been playing Trackmania.
On the Giant Bomb server? The new one?
I mean, I'm going to buy it eventually.
Official classic or unofficial classic?
Both. I logged in the other day and they were both full.
Wow.
That's just a game that I think is a ton of fun for if you got like a half hour to kill. you hop on a Mumble channel or something and then just go to a server and you just listen to funny music and have a good time.
Yep. That game's really dumb.
I would love for Jeff to post his track list somewhere. As not the game track list, I mean the music track list. Because
you can rip it from the server.
Can you?
Ooh. Yeah. I did it for the old Trackmania Canyon server before it went down.
Oh, man. Because I like his shitty dubstep in all its gloriousness. It's totally my thing.
But it's on the actual gameplay, right?
It's more Trackmania?
Trackmania 2 Stadium. In actual gameplay terms, I'm not sure I like how the stadium car handles compared to the canyon car.
Right.
The canyon car was more loose and you could drift easier with it.
I kind of like the sound of a more grippy car. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this? I actually need to use the brake. Yeah. This isn't fun.
It's like how closer to how I like playing fucking racing.
No, the
games.
Best Trackmania tracks are FS tracks, which is full speed tracks, which is you hold the gas from the start and just need to figure out the best line.
And pray.
Yeah.
Yep.
But no, that's cool. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. Like, I don't know whether it's just I'm bad or I'm not used to the new car or there just aren't a lot of good tracks yet, but I feel like when you have 50-something people on a server and 6 minutes to finish a track and literally zero people finish, when some people on the server are ranked like top 100 in the world.
Man, in the quick look, some of those tracks look rough. Just hard.
Oh, playing them.
Not only rough, but like how it abuses the camera with like...
The Obi-Wan action cam?
Yes.
Oh, God, that is... Star Wars Metallica is the greatest Trackmania track ever created.
So far.
Yeah. His implementation off the two themes was... Yeah. Without just, par. Up here. God.
Just Metallica scrolling across the screen randomly as you're going spoilers. Around turn. No, they don't even know what the Obi-Wan action cam is, though.
So good, so good. Yeah, that of the two, that is it's the worst though because it makes it almost impossible for that segment to drive properly.
Yeah.
Anybody who doesn't know, during the Giant Bomb Unprofessional Fridays, that's subscriber only, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's like they played one of the maps that was this amazing map.
Yeah, and I think there's a quick look up there. And there's a bunch of good maps in that.
Yeah, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. It being in open beta,
it's free.
It's great that there's a lot of people playing.
Yeah.
But it sucks there's a lot of people playing because you can't get into the server.
Oh.
I've been joking with a lot of people on Mumble who are playing because it's free. I'm like, yeah, wait till all you beta kiddies get out of here. Then all the real Trackmania players can play.
Oh, speaking of that, open beta and full maps is just jumping back to Hawken. One thing I want to add, they are also testing because normal maps are 6v6, 12 person. They're testing a 12v12 map that's almost always
full.
Where's
my 64 player?
They're working on it.
Where's my Battlefield?
It's pretty laggy right now, but it's
okay. That's another game I've been playing, Battlefield 3, but everyone knows about that game.
Yeah. Oh, have you guys played / or finished Assassin's Creed 3? Anyone here?
Nope.
No.
I was hoping for Durham to be on this episode.
So we could talk about Assassins of the Caribbean?
Yeah, because I... Black Flag, I'm sorry guys, but I'm all the way back in with
nope.
Fucking pirates. Pirates, nope. Yes, I'm sold. Sold.
I'd want to learn more about it.
It looks
but
so
I'm
cool.
I'm tentative.
It's back to a non wussy ass main character and fucking guns and ships.
Durin fucking pirates.
So Durin, yes, pirates. Damn.
Keeps messaging me like whenever there's a big update. Whenever there's a big update on like Assassin's Creed 4, it's like man, it's gonna be so great, and I just keep messaging him back. I'm like, you don't understand. I think this is the dumbest series of video games ever, and want nothing to do with it.
I love it. I can't wait.
It got dumber too. This isn't the early 2000s. Don't capitalize on the success of Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's so cool.
It looks like that's what they're doing.
Because there aren't many good pirate games, and this one is probably going to be one.
Kingdom Hearts 2, Pirates of the Caribbean level.
Sid Meier's Pirates.
That's not new.
Pirates of the Burning Sea was sort of fun, but the on-land combat was a joke.
This is probably going to be pretty good in terms of a
pirate
game.
As with most games, it has potential, and I'm just like, I'm becoming cynical, and it's not going
to
happen.
Man, but I'm also finding it's more and more difficult for me to be remotely interested in a current-gen game. Because There's things I know for the next Assassin's Creed, they promised for it to be an entirely open world, no loading screens, no blocked off areas like there have been in previous Assassin's Creeds. But when I think to Tomb Raider specifically, if that was designed from the ground up for a next gen console, it would be a fucking island game. You'd be able to go anywhere at all times. But I'm feeling the bottlenecking of current gen. So
basically, what you're saying is Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be awesome.
It's going to be fucking awesome, man.
Right?
Oh my God.
I'm staring at my wallpaper right now, just like I want it to be 2015. Talking about
things
that game's coming out.
I'm pumped for. It's probably just like Star Wars 2013, Watch Dogs, and that as number one, Cyberpunk 2077. Number one thing I'm excited for, but I don't know where I'm going to be at in my life when that comes out, because there's no date.
You know where
whatsoever.
I'm gonna be? You know where I'm gonna be when that game comes out?
What, playing it?
Sitting at my computer waiting for it to unlock.
Nice. Anyway. So there's we should probably get to that other game, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, like Shinboy.
There's like three other games.
Apart from another game, is there anything else you've been playing? I do want to just briefly go to what Newbrowner's been talking about.
So I'm also gonna talk about that other game.
Nothing really relevant that I can think of.
All right, Noob, what's up, man? Have you been playing any racing games with dubstep or Metallica?
No, but I did get the Arma 3 beta.
The most realistic
Alpha.
Of shooters.
Arma 3 Alpha, sorry. And I can say it.
There's a video that came out.
The current build of Arma 2.
Ah.
That game is pretty fucking great.
That pretty dumb video that was like in the vein of your physics? A farm simulator.
Yeah.
Of the dude getting sent into space with the mortar.
Right. and the tactical sea turtle.
Right.
Oh, God.
It's so great now. The biggest problem I had with Arma 2 was it was janky with the graphics and the shooting, but they fixed all that. The game looks beautiful. The shooting is great. You can go underwater. I'm not sure about the new relationship system and like the setting in the Japanese high school.
Oh, right.
But
sure.
I'm sure they'll fix that up. But
I was
going to
say,
like,
if any of that were true, I'd be way more interested in Arma 3. But
right.
Wait, how do you know it's not true?
Because I know Newbrowner.
It's still in beta. They might have.
But I think the biggest downside is it's now a mainstream game. Like 30 people on my friends list have it, so I'm sort of not excited to play it.
Moving on.
Oh wait! Before that, so.
Oh God.
I've been playing a Paradox game called March of the Eagles.
Okay, moving on.
Yep. Wait.
Moving on.
No one cares about Paradox games.
No, wait. I'm a person who plays these Paradox game runs, right?
If I could mute you, I would.
Shinboy, I've been watching Sherlock recently.
New
that show's awesome.
I'm going to give you five words to describe this Paradox game.
500-page manual.
Okay. All right.
Okay, you actually got me interested. What the fuck? Why does it need a 500-page manual?
No, it's a game for Drew. It's a game for Drew Scanlon.
Yeah. Is it?
Like
Sam Simulator? Did you see that?
The dude loves manuals.
Sam Simulator looks fucking awesome.
That fucking game.
The main game that we want to talk about, and we're not going to talk too briefly on the game. Hopefully, we want to talk briefly. People talking about SimCity 2000.
Let's talk about SimCity itself, though.
That's what they would name it.
Who else has played it? Neither of you.
I've played SimCity.
Like, did you buy it?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the only way you can play it.
And then,
I thought you meant during the beta. So, what do you think of it?
Even if you have a copy of SimCity, you might not be able to play it.
No.
When you can play, it's pretty good.
It is pretty damn good.
I was 10 seconds from buying that game until I saw the Giant Bomb Quick Look, where they confirmed the size of those cities. And I was like, not out.
See. Okay, my biggest problem with that is not the size of the cities themselves. Is that the game design seems to forget that the cities are that size.
How so?
Because like you have, you know, your residential, your RCI, your residential, commercial, industrial zoning, and you say you fill up your city, like you cannot make any more roads to zone any more or anything, and the game's still just like, you should probably get more people to fill these jobs. And I'm staring at the game like, then make bigger buildings. I can't control that part.
Exactly.
Well, no, you can increase density through two ways. You raise the land value, and then of course you increase road density.
I mean, okay, like if I have high density roads everywhere.
If you do that, then like it's by nature, you have to get more expensive things. You have to raise taxes or what have you. Exactly. Then you get people who are homeless and will just flood the streets because there's no low density places for them to live.
Exactly. Like, and I'm sure that's a part of the game, because once you get to a certain level, it's about maintaining a number and keeping your citizens happy and making sure they don't fucking leave.
Yeah, and also, like, a lot of the buildings that you place, like, specifically, like, the airport and, like, the sports stadium and everything.
No way should ever fucking
like, they are way too big for the size of that city.
And considering their late game, you probably have to demolish a large part of existing infrastructure to get that in.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when you said demolish, I was immediately reminded, also, no geoforming. I was like, oh, come on.
That's another bummer.
Oh. It's just like, I'm not
but
even
I think the region system
SimCity
is
guy.
Really great.
Sorry?
The region system basically is the reason, well, not, it's one of the excuses, not excuses, that makes it sound bad, but one of the things that there's a reason for having online DRM. And it's that all of the cities in – so you create a region, and within the region there can be multiple cities. And it has bonuses like you can help other cities by lending them your fire service, your garbage service, give them money. You can build great works projects, which are like big projects in the city. So like giant solar panels, super great nuclear power.
You can build like a space center and a national airport.
And that's one of the reasons. And – there's some cool things you can do. For example, I named my city Pyongyang, and my friend built my city beside me. It's called Seoul, and basically my country polluted his city to destruction.
See, that's hilarious, first off. But like, I like that I don't mind the region system, because that's just like that's part of the aspect of the game, I guess. That's just how you have to work with it. What I don't like is I look over at the neighboring city. I see a fully mapped out cube. And then nothing, just open plains, another fully mapped out cube.
Yeah.
If they made it so either the cities were right next to each other, or they had a smart system in that just like developed farms or something instead of just plains.
Right.
Like I'm sure the argument was like, well, they couldn't like spare that. They didn't want to allocate that amount of polygons or something to non-essential.
Make them sprites.
Yeah. I don't know. Make them shitty 2D sprites.
Yeah, but like, there's some cool, funny stories that come out of things. For example, on like the PC Gaming Hub region, one of our dudes just left their thing on, and they didn't have enough skilled workers, so their nuclear power plants all exploded, and no one else knew that. So basically, everyone else was getting water from that dude, but it was all irradiated. So everyone else had like their cities dying from irradiation.
Is your fucking community like a race to the bottom? Is just everyone trying to fuck everyone over?
Thing is, he built like a super efficient city, but the problem was it was really power hungry. But because it was so early on, he couldn't get a big skilled workforce, so he could build the power plants, but it was run by basically like elementary school people.
So
and it led to their meltdown, and no one else knew about it. So everyone's like getting water from this dude, and it's all fucking irradiated.
What? So
and basically,
is that
arsonists and criminals coming out of his wasteland?
It's a funny story, but is that a good thing?
I think I really like the region play. Yeah. Like a good example of it actually working well is in our main region, like all the people from Lincoln Forest and everyone who's on Mumble, we have our own region. And I built a city next to JKC, who most of his city was powered by wind power. And I was buying power from him because I didn't really want a lot of like polluting structures in my city. So what happened was I was buying power from him, and I had a university, and I had the university research better wind turbines so he could use them and be more efficient making power so I could buy the power from him.
Cool.
Mm.
That's pretty fun.
Working together.
Yep. When that system works, it works fantastic.
It does.
In the vein of Noob, I totally still vote for I want a fucking whole island of just my city.
Disasters are pretty
great. I mean, you can do that. It's just you will have to manage it
for
like, region by
cities.
Region.
Yeah, that's not the same.
Like, we have a dude in our server who made his city into criminal wasteland, and we just get arsonists and criminals flooding out from his city into our cities.
You're really not helping your community's image here.
I know. It's not destructive because it's not high level. So they, you can't troll unless you like go into other people's cities and like build parks all over. It's just fucked up. But no one does that, luckily, in our community. At least not so far. But I don't know. It's just a well-rounded, great game when it works. Except zombie apocalypses, because fuck zombies. I had like 12 skyscrapers during a zombie apocalypse. 7 of them were abandoned, and I had to tear them down. it was disappointing.
Is it unfair that it is a game with some fantastic elements to it that could probably stand up on its own right if it wasn't named SimCity? But from my perspective, the fact that it is under the SimCity branding means I did expect to be able to have fucking massive cities however I wanted them to. Is that unfair?
Probably. I'm sure part of the reason they held it SimCity was also Sims is now pretty damn big.
SimCity is still pretty damn big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't your grandfather's SimCity. Yeah.
This is not like it's something like two big things you have to realize is there's never going to be a point where you can just walk away from the game.
No.
Partially because like Noob is saying, zombie apocalypse is like the disasters will always be on unless you have sandbox.
To be fair, like some of them are manageable if you have good enough infrastructure. But I think it's some of the things like you don't have to give your full concentration into the game.
Yeah.
I had a tornado that landed in the river and didn't damage a single building.
Speaking of, terrain's really fucked up in that game. When you have your thing like half hill, half ground,
right?
It's really expensive getting your city working properly.
Because there's no geoforming. So, like, God damn it. I don't know. So that's the game. In general, do you guys love it, or is it?
I love it when it works.
It's a game we enjoy. It's a game I like playing with other people. Hopefully, when Cheetah Speed comes back on, there will be times like I don't have to spend 4 hours working on this game. I'm definitely enjoying it.
Didn't mean to cut you off.
I just want to talk about people talking about the game.
Yeah,
like Polygon.
I'm just saying, before we move to that, it is still a SimCity game. There was still a moment where I woke up at like 10 a.m., didn't have work, and went, okay, I'm going to play SimCity. And then went, okay, I've probably been playing for like an hour and a half. Let's go get lunch. I looked down at my phone, and it's 3 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yep, that happened. The lack of a real-time clock is very dangerous.
The Origin overlay doesn't have a clock like Steam overlay does. I literally didn't have my phone. It was in the other room. But I'm like, okay, what do I do? I don't want to alt-tab my game because I'm scared it's going to fuck something up. So I just sat there, and apparently I spent an hour just sitting there.
Yeah, that's the other thing. No full-screen windowed mode.
Yeah, I was going to say, because what the fuck? I would love to play SimCity windowed. That's how I would play SimCity. I should fucking play SimCity 4.
Once I figured it out, alt-tabbing works perfectly fine.
Is SimCity 4 on Steam? Let me check.
No.
Not.
Oh, the companies who were taking advantage of SimCity being down was hilarious. Tropico was on sale. GOG was doing 75% off SimCity 2.
Was it some site? I don't think it was Destructoid. Maybe Joystick.
SimCity 4 is on Steam, by the way.
Some site that usually has like things on the side for networks, like
it was joystick.
It had PSN, Xbox Live, Nintendo Network, and SimCity was the four tickers on the side for whether the servers were up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about it being the fucking.
Let's talk about how dumb Polygon is.
This is the SimCity I want to play. God damn it, I want to play SimCity 4 now. It's so hard. Oh, this game looks awesome. Anyway, yeah, Polygon.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, like SimCity 4 also had the crazy stuff, like the sewage and subway system underwater.
Right.
The road system with the new SimCity is definitely a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But deep down, I really want to make the track town like we saw in one of the SimCity Quick Looks or something from the original game way back when.
But I don't want to. I will gladly trade not being able to do that for not having to friggin' lay power lines everywhere.
Oh, here's something I'm really pissed about.
What?
Water. The water system.
Why? I think it's just a river.
Yeah, in the town on our server, I have a town that a quarter of the map is taken up by a river and a hill across the way that I can't make a bridge cross to. I put my water treatment facility right next to the river, as close as bleeding possible. We're going to abandon this place eventually. I'm going to fall asleep with the game on. Water is the one thing that destroyed my city because it sucked up all the water in the area and it didn't refill despite the fact it was next to a river.
maybe it's salt. Like
I don't know, but that made the coal factory shut down, which then made the power shut down, which made everything else in the world shut down.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, water seems pretty
fucking
good.
Nuclear meltdown, man.
Yeah. So, but what do you guys? Yeah, let's... So, one of the arguments for it not being able to have larger cities, and this is probably the only one I would get behind, is that the density of the simulation was, like, this is what the developers said, that the amount of simulating they're doing in that city restricted their size of the city because they wanted to hit a specific minimum requirements. Right. Are you guys noticing the awesomeness of that simulation? Because it sounds to me like the only translation that has to gameplay is some stuff not coming into effect when you'd want it to and taking a little bit longer, or just like not...
Wait,
or
you
just
mean regarding
out?
The only thing I noticed with that was that the game is really good because it does it at an individual level of telling you whether people are happy or unhappy.
Right.
But because of that, it's also really bad at telling you why they are happy or unhappy.
Right.
So it's just like, hey, I don't like this thing. I don't know how to fix that. Okay.
That or industry always asking you to like make a way for them to ship out freight. And I'm like...
That and skilled workers. A shitload of my factory is shut down because of skilled workers or lack of skilled workers.
So are you guys like... Because in my optimal universe, it would have been a SimCity game where you like the multiplayer is literally just four starting places on a map of which everyone can fill as much of it as physically possible. But
so like a co-op thing, like a massive map, but everyone is a mayor, I guess.
Yeah, everyone's a mayor. Like you start in different areas of the map, but it's the same as it is now, but with no bounding box. You just keep fucking going.
Yeah, but I feel like
as far as
so basically like Civ
limitations to that. And simply like gameplay wise.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If my perfect world, they would have optimized and reduced the quality of the simulation such that it takes a fraction of what it takes now for them to run and put those resources into just fucking making gigantic cities and having it freeform and open. Because
I mean, I'm sure one of the
I'm fine with a
like...
low quality simulation. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with riding simulations, but I've done simulations for aircraft. And there's definitely levels there, right? Like you can have a proper ass fucking fluid flow simulation, which takes an hour to run a second of real flight. Or you can have something that's 98% accurate, which can run real time on the same computer. Like there is a mid ground there where they did not have to do the level of simulation they did. It would be not noticeable to the player whatsoever that it is any different, and it wouldn't have had the same restrictions. I'm actually weirded out by what they did.
It's not even like a visually stunning game. I don't think they cut corners anywhere because it's not particularly amazing.
But Cynic, if you did that, then you wouldn't have Polygon changing reviews for you.
Look, you know what my least favorite part about review is? Like, I open up a magazine from the 2007 issue of PC Gamer, and then one day it's a 9, and then the next day the magazine suddenly magically changes into an 8.5, and then it's a 4.
I think we should just wrap up this whole thing by just saying fuck Polygon and
be
done with it.
I'm going to take devil's advocate in this because I actually kind of
I kind of see
what they're going with this because
this is all knee jerk.
If you were a stupid person who only went to one website for your gaming information and that happened to be Polygon instead of Giant Bomb, then it totally works. Like it would have fucked over the people who this is the main argument that I side with you guys on. The fact that they gave SimCity a 9.5 the day before it came out, not taking into account any form of launch day issues, fucked over anyone they convinced by that score to pre-order the game.
Well, but the thing is, they're reviewing the game they've played. They can't just make up a random score and be like, oh, when the game comes out, it's going to be really bad, so we're going to deduct score.
Which is why the way Alex Navarro and Kevin Van Oord on Giant Bomb and GameSpot respectively did it the right way, which is they just waited 2 days.
Yeah. Don't do it and then change it and then change it again.
Yeah.
Changing it from like a 9.5 to an 8, I found fine.
Because
like it's still a really good game, but hey, it now has these additional flaws that you might want to take into account. But a 4 is such a knee-jerk reaction in an attempt to get hits.
Yeah, it was because again, yeah. So if you're a person who only goes to Polygon for whatever reason,
I'm sorry,
and are somehow listening to a Giant Bomb
podcast,
Guild Wars 2 podcast,
I can see how you would be served by the updated information, but.
No, but how pissed would you be if because when people make decisions on launch day, because we're not the average person who buys SimCity. Right. Many people look at reviews and buy SimCity, and the majority of reviews on launch day were pretty positive, or before launch day, right? So you look at Polygon's score, and then you buy the game, and then you come back. It's a fucking 4. How pissed would you be?
Yeah.
That's not okay. Don't put out the review if you're just going to change it like that, because, oh my god.
I mean, it's I not necessarily the knee-jerk reaction on the 4. If they originally posted a 4 or something like it, I am okay with reviews based on initial performance on the whole subject of DRM. I don't want to go too far into that, but like
I think PC Gamer actually did a really, really, really good review of SimCity. It took all that into account.
Yeah. Like it's
they posted the final one. They gave it 69, I believe.
Yeah, like now the servers are a bit more stable. If you have a group of friends, it's definitely a co-op game. So like definitely pick it up, but the servers have issues. And the fact that when the server shut down, you won't have a game.
But the other side of it, right? If they'd waited 2 days or whatever and given it a 4 or a 6 or whatever, and then as like a month from now they upgrade that score to a 9.5, this reaction wouldn't have happened. By you guys.
Yes.
Like, I can definitely see where evolving reviews are totally a good thing. But
no,
the way they did it in this instance is wrong.
Is really knee-jerk because say you take a game like, I don't know, like New Vegas, I guess, would be a good example. That game was really broken at launch.
Sure, yeah.
I can understand.
It's still pretty broken.
I can understand.
By all accounts.
I mean, it's based off of, it's not technically a Bethesda game, but for all intents and purposes, it is.
Yeah.
But, like, there were bugs, you know, where the first NPC you meet, his head was just continuously rolling. or he would be stuck in the ceiling. If you want to take points off for that, and then once it gets patched and fixed and everything, bump up the score, that's fine. But I see this as knocking down the score, so people like us are now all talking about Polygon bumping down the score.
Yeah.
So they get more hits. Yep. I mean, that's only for the second one. Dumping it down from a 9.5 to an 8 was acceptable because, like I said, they recognize, okay, we still think this game is pretty good, but there's this other stuff you might want to look at.
From your perspective, but for people that know on the Japan forums, like the moment they did that, there was instantly a hullabaloo. On the Giant Bomb forums about that alone. Like, people just don't like... A lot of people just don't like the idea of an evolving score. And...
Right.
But
if you want to change a score, come back later, fix it. Don't do it day later and then change it again the next day into a lower score.
Perhaps a first impressions review and then a separate look back review.
Well, what they did for...
Some companies do that, right?
Some companies do that.
I think it was Retro City Rampage. Like, Polygon has come out with responses to the criticism, and they murdered their Retro City Rampage, I think it was, review, which came out as like a 6 out of 10. And then there was a bunch of fixes to the Xbox Live Arcade version, and they bumped it up to like an 8 or whatever. They upped the review
over time.
Yeah, but
the question is, when does it end with evolving reviews? That's the biggest problem.
Their argument is it ends when it stops becoming a service to the readers. If they don't feel that the game is particularly relevant to a modern reader, they will stop updating that review.
Thing is,
which is a good
they
argument.
Fuck their reader, so I don't think they give a shit.
In this case, they fuck their reader. And I think the only thing wrong with this case is that they released the review before it opened on a DRM game. And you shouldn't do that. Like, they've learned, hopefully, from this, and everyone else should fucking learn, that games like this are always going to be broken on launch day, no matter what happens, essentially. Because as online like features progress in complexity, as internet connections and so on and so forth, server technology progresses, the gaming industry is getting bigger. More and more people are buying these things on day one. I don't see a day where one can significantly overtake the other to the point where a game like this will not be broken on launch day. That's going to still be the case. Even Guild Wars 2 was pretty fucking broken on launch day.
The difference with that was, I was playing on a laptop on a really bad hotel internet connection at the launch of Guild Wars 2, and I got to play for 4 hours from the launch to when I decided to go to sleep, not because the game kicked me off.
I would disagree. The difference is Guild Wars 2 is a multiplayer game. Games like SimCity and right. Diablo 3 have a majority single-player aspect, and the fact that the DRM makes them play online,
right.
if they made that distinction, if it's single-player, you can play by yourself, there'd be a lot less rage.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with forcing me, like, if it's a multiplayer game, they can be online the entire time.
Right.
No, but I don't understand the people who are like, they bought the game knowing that it's online DRM, and then they're complaining about the fact that it's online DRM. You can complain about the fact that it's not working.
Again.
Don't complain about the fact that, oh, it's online DRM, I bought it anyways, but I don't like it.
Right. Like yeah, you're right. You can complain about the fact that it's not working. And that's
it's
where...
It's on the fucking box.
Exactly. And people were hoping that they would
Hold
figure
on, is
it out for
Let me grab my box.
I don't think
it'll
ever
happen. It's on the front of the box and it's on the back of the box.
I don't think.
Oh, yeah, persistent internet connection required to play.
I don't see it in the even remote near future that an online DRM only game will ever release well. So hopefully these sites have learned from this and they just don't fucking publish their review.
Right, and it's not true. Like, I'm not going to be all EA fanboy because I don't really like EA. I don't buy games on Origin. The thing is, like, it's not even draconian. Like, getting onto the servers fucking sucks because you can't. But once you're on the servers, even if it disconnects, it just reconnects while you're playing. So they're not kicking people off en masse. It's just server problems. And it's not Maxis's fault, first of all. It's Origin's fault because they run the DRM. So
I like this game. I enjoy it. And I understand why they're doing it. It's like it's counter piracy. It's to ensure sales and all that. It's a tough like argument. And I just hope they don't end up like future games screw the consumers for the sake of the
consumers.
I don't think that online and DRM games are going to stop. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's going to become a thing.
Of course not.
It's going to be a thing. This is
already
welcome to the future. Yeah, welcome to the future. I can only see the amount of games.
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, online
only.
You
know, when I bought Armor 3 on my phone, like in front of, like, I don't know, I was just like on the bus and I bought Armor 3 on the phone and I thought, oh, this is the future.
Yeah, this is the future. Future. And in the same way, do not be surprised if fucking Tomb Raider...
Or maybe it's the end.
Tomb Raider 3 will be on any DRM. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Or even Tomb Raider 2, for that matter.
Yeah.
DRM is the thing that destroys the world. No. I think we've beaten this subject to submission. Yeah. I hear there's a game called Guild Wars 2 that we can talk
What's
about.
What's that game?
Yeah.
Oh, does that game have online... That game has online.
That game forces you to be online all the time. It's really
all
lame.
All the time.
Okay, so I did this Guild Wars 2 review, but then I changed the score because it's like there weren't enough costumes, so it's a 4 now.
To be fair, on the subject of evolving reviews, I think MMOs are perfect candidates for them.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I think it's difficult because the only people who would be trustable in changing that review would be people who have put significant and continuous online time with that game.
Yeah.
And at the same time,
like, to that end, I would recommend massively.com because they cover a lot of MMOs and they're always bringing up stuff about
Massive. Doesn't like 10 Ton Hammer as well?
Do they score
I think they
them?
Do too, yeah.
I don't think they score them. I think they just cover
I don't know
them.
If they score, but they talk about the updates and they say it's different with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, like one of the big things that I think is a big change since our last Lincoln Cast episode is there's a lot more world events going on, or at least the same number of world events, but a lot more people doing them.
Why is that? Is it because SimCity isn't working and people are playing Guild Wars?
Yeah, that's probably
that's
the
that's
reason.
Probably it. But the reason why they're actually doing these events is because the loot the killing a boss to the right loot table is finally working.
So, like, out of all the chests from, like, the Shatterer and Claw of Jormag and even the low-level events like the Frozen Maw in the Norn Starter Zone, I heard it was not guaranteed, but it's pretty much a guaranteed rare out of the chest, if not two or three, or an exotic.
I think, like, if I remember how it worked, like, right now, it was more so, like, if you did the Maw, you would get a low-level chest, or at least the chest that a low-level would be getting, which is a couple blues and greens. It's the way they intended it now, where you, like Shinboy said, you get a rare or exotic. Which, what I love about all of this is within hours of the patch coming up and fixing that issue, someone finally found Final Rest off the Shadow Behemoth.
And now Final Rest is down to like 16 gold. It's really cheap.
It's the best. Cynic and New Brahma. Final Rest is like this, it's this staff that apparently necromancers love or something, but
no, everyone just wanted it because no one knew where it came from.
There's two items in the world that no one knew where they came from, and there's this whole thing on like the Reddit and the forums of people trying to find this and throwing out ideas and grouping up to find, because the arena would be like, it spawns in this large chest, and just being very cryptic with the guesses. Turns out it's arena's fault for why it hasn't shown up yet.
Nice. Wait, so
it was in the loot table, just the value was wrong.
So what's the level scaling like on this loot?
It's like we will show up, Shiboy and all, and a bunch of level 80s will show up to the Maw, something in the Norn starting zone.
Yeah.
And we'll do it, and we'll get level 80 stuff.
Level 80. All right, so it's fully scaled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each chest has a level 80 exotic that drops out of it, including the level 15 chests.
The nice thing is it's a smart system where if you do it, you can't do it for at least for that character for the next 24 hours.
It's on daily reset.
Yeah, the chest just doesn't appear for you.
So each world event is on a daily recharge.
Yes, each world event is on a daily recharge for each character.
You can pretty much spend like a good 2 hours getting a shitload of exotic
supers. You could log in and spend 2 to 3 hours jumping around from world event to world event.
Yeah,
and
from, get from a whole character bunch of to chests, character. Yeah,
and get a whole bunch of rares. Yep.
Yeah.
That's so it's cool. It's. You can't do it 24/7, so there is a cap on it, so to speak. But there's definitely a lot of people running around doing these things
to the point where you're getting overflows.
Yeah,
in
those
someone
say too many people. I can't remember which boss it was, but there was a time where like, okay, I'm shooting this guy. I just have to aim my camera on the floor so I don't.
That
like,
just sounds like
crash.
The fun I had near launch. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, this is really weird lag because. Your movement and everything is still being calculated in real time.
Yeah.
There's so many skills going off that skills aren't.
That's just like launch. Yeah, this is cool.
It is, but like once that world boss dies,
it's just gone. Everyone disappears.
So if they like if they catch onto that and like, okay, right after this big world event, 3 or 4 chain events will spawn.
That would be cool.
To keep people in the map. I think that's there's definitely a couple months away.
That kind of leads me to my issue with this is, what's it doing to the economy?
Ectos are way down, but it seemed to have stabilized a bit.
Right. Well, what are we talking about? What prices are we talking
they were
about?
They were down from 40 to like 27.
Oh, so back each. Near launch numbers. That's pretty cool.
Launch numbers were like 20, but yeah,
20,
near.
Yeah. Yeah, so
it's like now that cool. People have money, I think it's like that's where that 7 silver comes in. Whereas launch time, people just didn't have any money for it.
Yeah. So that sounds good. Like these sound. It sounds like they breathed more life.
The thing is with this, there's a lot more money coming into the economy, but with the new guild events and the gear that you get from them is using both the currency from the guild events in addition to gold. There's a lot of money also going out of the economy. So there is a bit of inflation, but it's not that bad yet.
Right. And so are the exotics you get from these chests, are these like area-specific or boss-specific, or are they...
Boss, there's at least a few boss-specific ones that I know of. Like, I got a scepter off of Tequaddle, which is just like a little piece of coral, which is really, really derpy looking. And I ended up just giving it to a guildie.
Nice.
But that's specific to him. The Frozen Maw has an accessory... Eternal Ice that's specific to him,
right,
and stuff like that.
So I can see those items dropping to the point where they equate to their ecto value, essentially their percentage probability ecto value.
Not really, because there's so many people doing these events and they're still not relatively high, like 7-8 gold each for some of them.
Sure.
With all the people doing it now, I think that's where they'll stay.
So you don't think they'll drop to like one gold or less?
I'd be really surprised.
Because there's more exotics out there than just the boss specific ones and area specific. What's the chance of doing one of these things and getting like a random exotic that you were really wanting for ages?
I think the way it works is that you get a guaranteed rare that's not part of the table, sure. And then everything else is a roll. So cool. It's about the same as it was before.
All right. So it sounds generally better for everyone involved.
Yeah.
And we'll have to see how it pans out for the economy. But it sounds good for the economy so far. So yeah.
In terms of being good for ArenaNet's economy, it seems like there are a ton more people playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that is one reason why people are playing more. And the other thing is Saturdays are a big day. It's Saturday in which the bounties reset, right?
Yeah, it's like Saturday. I don't know if it's bounties, but
just all guild missions. We've been talking about them for a lot, and we've only been doing guild bounties. That's a very tough unlocking system, I think.
Yeah. You have to do a lot to unlock the next tier.
It's actually probably a good thing, because it kind of like gets you used to one type, and then by the time you're sick of it, you've unlocked the next one. So
the thing is you only need to do two bounties to unlock the Trek, which is the next one.
Okay.
But then it, you know, gradually gets on, you know, you need 250 of these things to the merits to unlock the last thing, which is guild puzzles. Right. And that's going to take a lot of mixing it up between different types.
I'm secretly hoping, holding out, that is Josh Foreman's new puzzle.
Because we don't know yet.
Yeah. Well, it's as far as I know, that's finished. I'm not sure if it's released to the public yet, though. To people who don't know, Josh Foreman, infamous Halloween puzzle maker.
Oh, God. So by puzzle, you guys mean jumping puzzle?
Well, yes and no. I mean, he can make more than just jumping puzzles.
Oh, I know he can, but what is implied by this event?
The picture is just a big maze.
Yeah, okay. It not only is it a maze, it's a maze that's changing.
Which sounds
awesome.
Brutal.
That sounds amazing to me until the moment it also asks me to jump, and then I'm out. So,
well, like I said,
we'll see how this goes.
He said the moment with his, there will be the baby move. Yeah. Which was weird when I did the skipping stones puzzle in South Sun Cove when that got released. I got to do that with him. He was unaware of the Mesmer and the Mesmer portal.
Weird. Huh. Weird.
Yeah. I got to run that with him. It's like, oh, you need a port? And it's like, wait, what?
I mean, he probably knew it existed somewhere, but didn't put two and two together that people would be using them for puzzles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good that they can. In my opinion,
you're abusing the system, Thurb. You've destroyed his work of art. What do you say to that?
Well, someone had to do it. At least one man had to do it.
I say that the skipping stone puzzle was not his work of art, and it was awesome that he was like the guy who did this. The lighting is really bad. I'm gonna yell at him to fix this next time.
Nice.
See, that I didn't even finish that skipping stone puzzle, but I couldn't even gotten as far as I did without those fucking portals.
Oh, hold on. Quickly on Josh. Did you guys watch when Brad Meier was on and they were playing Alter Echo?
Yes. One of the best TNTs ever.
Did you notice the first artist listed?
No. Was it Josh Foreman?
I'm
Josh
going back to watching that.
That's pretty funny.
Yep.
That's pretty funny.
Yep.
That is awesome.
Fucking small world.
Yeah, it's... Guild bounties.
Do you like them? Do you guys like them?
I do. I do like them.
Yeah, it's a very tense thing. The one thing I don't like, it's a small issue. But when you do the tier, like for any of the guild bounties, how it works is depending on the tier is the more bad guys you have to face. But it's still within a 15-minute time frame for all of them, right, Shinboy?
Yeah, the time doesn't change.
And it's you have to find this guy and. We'll find the number of people, and they could be in any of the zones except for Orr.
So the way I described why I haven't been particularly jumping in my boots to play with this mode with the rest of you guildies to Shinboy was so they essentially combined the two things I'd least like in video games: time limits and searching for shit I don't know where it is. So put those two things together, it is immediately something I don't want to do. Well, you guys saying it's pretty fun?
The way it works is you activate it, and then on the guild panel on the upgrades, there's an active missions.
Right.
And you bring that up, and it gives you the names of your two bounties. So you can just look up what zones they're in.
Thanks to Dolphy and all that, people have tracked, okay, this guy will spawn in this zone somewhere in this area.
Oh, cool.
With the exception of Lorna's Pass, which is... Oh,
instead we just got lucky.
Yeah, instead of walking in a path, he shows up in one of 300 spots.
No, that's Gendarin. Gendarin.
Oh, God. Okay. So there's a worse one.
So essentially they're filling out the wiki to where it was in Guild Wars 1. Because back in the day, when you had to cap skills from bosses, in the wiki you could just search for any name and you'd find out exactly where the dude was.
Yeah.
So they unless they were rotating or right. they had random spawns.
Yeah.
What I'd like is because when we did it, we had like 15 some odd people, but only 10 of them, like on average, had the waypoints nearby.
Right.
If they made it so that the tier one is low level zones, tier two is low level and medium zones, tier three, and then like build up from there.
That could be pretty cool.
I think that would have been a better model, or at least the tier one was just like they're always going to be in these.
How about this? They make it if you have a guild bounty active, all waypoints are temporarily available.
That could be exploited. That'll be exploited like fuck.
But yeah. ones you unlock while under the bounty don't unlock.
I think that would be an awesome idea, but it would be it'd be tough to program.
Yeah,
it'd be tough to balance as well. But it's something they have to look into.
I don't know. Of the two, I like Thurbleton's idea more because as you get to higher level bounties, you'll be in higher level areas, so you'll be with those jackasses who pull you towards them in ore. Oh, no, it's nothing in ore, right? There's nothing in ore.
And here's the proposed downside. This is what the internet is complaining about.
Sure.
Is people are fighting over, like, well, the story was this guild was start a guild bounty.
Yeah.
Spread out to the different zones.
Yeah.
And the loose rule is if you have somebody in your guild in the zone, you'll get credit.
Sure.
But still, you want to find him and kill him to help make sure.
Yeah.
The guy typed the map. Hey, we're doing this guild event. Has anybody seen your McBrinstone? Or I'm making up names.
Whatever the dude's name was.
Yeah, whatever the dude's name was. And the guy's like, yeah, we're looking for him, but we're not going to tell you because we want our guild to get credit.
Wait, so there's a credit system?
Apparently, like Shimbo was saying, this might have been a hot fix to solve such issues, but if you aren't in the zone when the guy dies, you don't get credit.
I think it might be just like a full-on motherfucking misunderstanding by that guild.
Like I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
That's not the only story, but yeah.
I was mentioning this before on Mumble after we did them. Like, I have my commander icon, so I've been using it with these because it actually makes PvE commander really useful.
Yeah, this is PvE commander, trolling as totally. A PvE commander.
Makes sense.
Because, I know, like, I yelled in guild chat when we found the one in Mount Maelstrom. I was like, everyone, Mount Maelstrom on my icon. I found the bounty. Or whoever, like, I think someone found them, and I just sort of went there.
Yeah.
So that was really useful. And everyone I've run into, like other guilds that have the same bounty, has been super nice.
Yeah, as far as EX bens go, it's been a very open community. I've been talking to people. It's like, hey, we just started this. Are you guys still looking for this guy? And it's like, no, we got him already 2 tries ago.
Don't. Like the one, the tier two we just did, the dude in Herat the Hinterlands, I found him. Like you guys were off killing the other boss. So I stayed there and I found him. And this other guild was like, hey, does anyone know where this bounty is? And I was like, yeah, he's right here. My guild has him too. So they all went to the waypoint and we waited until like a whole bunch of their guildies showed up. And then I popped it and then we killed him. And then I moved on to the next one. And then like 5 minutes later, I got a PM from the dude saying like, hey, thanks. We ended up finishing the bounty. Thanks for your help finding this guy. Like right. Everyone was super nice about it.
Like, I think it was a legitimate misunderstanding because the last word Shinboy used there, which was two, is the most important. Like, these are not mutually exclusive by the sounds of it. As many guilds can fucking participate as they want to. So,
and as a matter of fact, because it, like, for everybody, resets on Saturday at 4, I assume, or Saturday like at reset time, mm-hmm. depending what time zone you're in. It's like everyone will be doing these most likely on Saturday at that time. So I'd like to think that originally it was like if your guild wasn't part of it, that when they got the kill and then it got hot fixed in, because that with the hot fix or like with the current system of if you have someone in the guild in the zone, you got credit. That's perfectly in tune with like the Guild Wars meta theme.
I'm just worried about because that makes it pretty easy to just have someone in your guild in every zone in the entire game.
Yes and no, because if you have someone in every zone, and you don't need people in every zone, like there's the wikis there of like, okay, we only need to be in these 3, 6, whatever zones.
So that causes that some people will just exploit that.
But the thing is,
only pop it if your guild has it active.
Yet you have 15 minutes to kill these things.
Sure.
So if you want to risk it by just idling in those zones and hoping another guild kills them in that 15 minute time frame,
right. Good luck. So that is actually why they put the time frame in there.
Yeah.
If, like, say a guild group finds a bounty, but they don't have that bounty active, they can't activate it. what you do is it's an NPC that patrols, and, you know, regular green name, non-hostile NPC. You need someone with the bounty needs to go up to him and talk to him.
Don't they have the crown over their head or something?
Yeah. But I mean, okay. The thing is,
so that identifies them as a guild bounty. So if you're like, hey, it's this guy you're looking for.
Like, I was walking around whatever zone COF is in. I can never remember the name. And I found the bounty, but we didn't have him active, obviously, because it was like a middle of the day on a Wednesday or something.
Yeah.
And I just talked to him, and he was just like, hello? And I was like, oh, sorry, you know, thought you were someone else, and that was the only dialogue option. Like, I couldn't start it.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And
so you can't get randoms trolling by starting the bounty without anyone really being in the area.
Cool.
So as of right now, not counting what other people have been talking about it, like Polygon, like, for example, enjoy the guild bounties.
Polygon?
No, I just want to make a joke. Okay. I want to make fun of Polygon.
That was a funny? All right. Sorry.
Yeah. Jesus.
Polygon changed their review scores on the guild bounty. It was weird.
Yeah.
At first, it was like a 24, and then it was a 3.
So what else would you guys want to see? We actually had an episode where before this came out, where we speculated on what these things would be.
A lot. Well, and see, that's the thing. I don't really want to go too much into it because we've only been able to do guild bounties. I think like next week we might get guild treks.
We just need the influence.
Yeah. And then, so, like, it's to anybody who's having trouble with these, the best thing you can do to get influence, rather, to get the upgrades done, is just do guild events, do weekly events. Hey, we're running around doing these dungeons, or we're doing map exploration for people, or if you have everybody on one server, run around in WoW.
Yeah.
But, like, those things will get you a ton of influence more so than just the normal people online.
And just to be clear, for anyone out there who had forgotten this, the formula for influence, I don't know the exact numbers, but it's based upon how many from your guild are completing dynamic events together in the same area. So
And it's exponential, I believe, or at least something close to it.
It's very, like, definitely you can rake in thousands and thousands if you do it right. Definitely just do anything where you'll know you'll actually be doing stuff. So whether it be trekking through ore or WoW, where there's a bunch of like a high density of dynamic event completions, you should get a lot of influence that way.
Like after the guild bounties today, Shimboy and like Cynic had to like start prepping for the podcast. But okay, everyone, we're still together.
Hey, prepping for the podcast, I was eating ice cream cake.
Breakfast, my third breakfast actually. First lunch.
What are you, a hobbit?
What about second breakfast?
I have two breakfasts, two lunches, and one dinner a day.
Anyway, we ran from Lion's Arch to Harathi Hinterlands and just did like a couple mini dungeons and like three or four events that were all on the way. And so just like if you have someone with Commander Icon, that's great. If not, just run around a group going slowly, killing everything.
Or fund one. It's really not that difficult.
Yeah.
I funded mine in a half hour.
Yeah, you have money saved up. But it's not as easy for some folks. But anyway, that's a lot of fun. We'll hopefully be able to talk about Guild Treks next week. I guess that's it for guild bounty news. There's a couple other things that have transpired, but
there's the whole Living Story thing.
The Living Story update, which it's still very slow. They've added a cryptic thing like the city in, well, like the walled off city that you can't get into Wayfarer Foothills.
Oh, I haven't even seen that. I haven't really been touching this Living Story stuff.
I mean, it's like it's where you saw a mountain ridge. It now suddenly like a wall with torches and stuff behind it has appeared.
Ooh. Is that like in the north?
It's in the north, just before or maybe just after the pathway to Diessa. And there's in between
that and the Frost Gorge.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, because that's where the dredge were previously. And since it is now confirmed that it is the Dredge and the Flame Legion working together, things that make sense that it's there.
I almost like Riven had the theory long ago before all this that they were adding a new dungeon, and he might be right.
Yeah,
like
if they add it there,
I can't see them adding a new like quest hub or something. But a dungeon, or at least a mini dungeon, sounds like a good idea.
If they add it in that area where they make the end of this, the end, the quote unquote end or inverted commas end of this Thank living you. Story chain be the dungeon in that area, that'd be neat.
Yeah. I mean, like, that sounds really cool.
Like, they end it by saying, oh, man, now go attack their stronghold or something.
right now it's still been a slow burn. Johansson said that it
sounds so boring to me. Oh my god! I'm sorry.
He said the past two months have been precursor stuff.
Sure,
it's now actually starting where there's events regularly happening that are actually fighting events where Dredge and Flame Legion pile out of portals or the Dredge APCs and you fight them.
So yeah, I was doing some of those the other day. Those are okay.
It's still not.
Dredge. I hate fighting the Dredge.
I hate the Dredge.
So does everyone.
Yep. Oh god, they're blind.
It's a great choice on blindies. You to have for your one of your main opposers in your first crazy dynamic event thing.
But sure. I guess quickly just jumping away from that because they're really like it's there's been updates but not really for the Living Story. Shinboy.
Wait, I just want to say on the other hand, I do like fighting the Flame Legion. They're fun to fight. So.
Oh yeah,
kind of balances it out, but not really.
Shinboy, you had a chance to do some of Ascalon Catacombs post update.
Oh yeah, those bosses are interesting.
Interesting. For anybody who doesn't know, they revamped a couple of the world bosses as well as just the final bosses of AC. Or
Colware has adds, but other than that, yeah, it's just the last bosses.
Wait, so have they? Yeah. Is this that new multi-stage development of boss mechanics thing that they're talking about?
Yes, or? They added new mechanics that are not in any other boss fight.
Cool.
In this game, at least.
Right. So what's up? What's happening?
You would have loved to do this, Cynic, because we did a full run of AC not knowing what any of the new bosses were.
Okay, that sounds pretty fun. But did they change them that much?
Yes. You know how Ghost Eater was basically just hit him till he dies, super easy mode?
Sure, yep.
Now they changed the turrets that were in that room to different kinds of traps. And he spawns a whole bunch of ooze, and you need to pick up these guns, and you need to work in teams where the gun has two skills, a lift and a pull, but they have a global cooldown to the point where one person cannot do both.
Cool.
So what you need to do is someone needs to lift up the ooze, and then someone else needs to pull it over to the trap to set off the trap. Then they need to drag the Ghost Eater over to the trap. He gets hit by the trap, and then you can finally DPS him.
So...
That's just
was
one
that,
example.
Was that fun? I don't know. That sounds complex, but I'm not sure it was fun.
It was kind of hard to figure out, but then once you figure it out, it was kind of fun.
I like how it's a phase fight, but it's not based off things health. It's like player interaction. I enjoy that.
Is it rule of threes? Is it just you have to do it three times and you're done? Or?
I don't remember, honestly. It was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
The most fun one is new Colossus Rumbless because it's really, really dumb.
Wait, so they only changed the final boss or did they change the other ones too?
They changed Kohler by giving him adds.
Well, yeah, there's the spider boss, quote unquote, and then there's Kohler, and then there's the final bosses.
Right.
The second event was always they haven't changed the traps or.
Except for making them super frame ratey.
Yay! Yeah.
Because they screwed with the models with the Skelk or the whatever the hell those things are in there to the point where if I was looking down the hallway where you have to pull the traps, I was getting single digit frames.
they changed the Ash Legion Spy Kit. Did they change the Ember thing as well?
They changed that a while ago. It's 5 minutes.
Oh, it's five. Last I heard it was 60 seconds.
Oh, really? Because they changed it again. That's weird.
Wow. Okay. So
what are you guys talking about? Yeah. What's happening? What?
The embers. You know the fire elemental that Ellie summoned?
Oh, yeah, yep.
There's a consumable that lets you summon one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it used to last forever.
Okay, and now it's five minutes or whatever.
Then it's 5 minutes. And Thurb, you're saying it's 60 seconds?
No. The Ash Legion Spy Kit cooldown is now 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know if other items like that, the world cheese items, as I call them, like the ember... summon thing.
Sure.
I didn't know if that got changed as well because that is really good to use in the Asura boss 2 stage of AC.
Cool.
Yeah. But talking about AC, the other two boss fights, the one that take place in the same room, Colossus Rumbless and the Howling King, they changed them both. The Howling King's yell now looks like a laser beam, which is pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Is it a charge up now, like a definite tell you can see, or is it still you just have to look at his body dance?
A little bit of both. Plus, since it's a beam, it's more directed and it's not super wide range.
Less of a 180 degree cone.
It's not body wipe? That's pretty funny.
No.
That's great.
But yeah, the only thing I don't like about those fights, which is actually, I kind of like it and I don't, you actually need to protect the NPC. Because without them, you will not finish that fight.
Lame.
Because the way it works is with Alan King, Hodgins lays down rings of fire that you need to bring the boss into. Otherwise, he has way too much health and does way too much damage.
Sure.
And spawns adds that do the same thing.
So this is with the new waypoints along the way.
Yeah.
Dungeons. Yep. Okay.
And then the one that we wiped on almost instantly was Colossus Rumblus, where Warmaster Grass throws down this big bubble shield, and you need to get inside the bubble shield because the ceiling is collapsing and covers literally the entire floor, and you will die if you don't get in the bubble shield.
That's pretty cool. I like that. And I'm okay with the idea of having to protect them at certain times, so long as
I hate protection.
Because
if everyone is alive, you don't need to babysit them because the boss will target you before he targets them.
That's good.
Well, I'd say it's okay because you can instantly res people, but then I was going to say, wait, that requires certain professions for the instant res abilities, which then makes it a looking for one more must be elementalist or warrior.
Or necro or guardian.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's great, but it's going to be a lot tougher for five thieves or something.
Wait, are you saying that necros aren't terrible in dungeons anymore? When did that happen?
They have an instant res skill. That's about it.
Okay.
I was just naming professions with instant res skills.
they take longer to die than an NPC, so I guess that's good.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, the first time not knowing what we were doing, obviously the NPCs died because we didn't know what we were doing. And we are all dead, and then actually the NPC outlived all of us, so you High really five. Don't have to babysit them.
Yay. Sweet. That's good to hear.
Once we figured out the mechanics, we never had to res the NPC in the middle of the fight. So
yay.
Thumbs up for new AC boss fights.
Yeah. Woo. Apart from that, I think that's most of the news for Guild Wars 2. Is there anything we're excited about for the horizon, or like they announced
the name. They didn't really announce anything.
Other than saying that like the past with everything they've been saying for the past few months is like the stuff you've seen right now is just precursor stuff. The next month's going to be huge.
Pretty much.
I will believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
I started collecting bows. That's Guild Wars news.
Are you collecting them just because it's the year of the bow, or what's brought on this bow session?
Well, he likes
bows are awesome.
Yeah, warrior bow is pretty good.
Bows are awesome. I like a lot of the skins and hashtag year of the bow. Those are the three reasons.
Yeah.
I
was going to say one other little tidbit we can add is anybody who wants to, they've been doing a sale every day in the gem store of just one item. So it's worth it to, if you're looking for a certain item, check in every now and then.
And they've been doing flash sales too, where it's like, we have 500 of these Black Lion salvage kits or something, and they're half off. But once they're gone, they're gone.
Yep. So it's worth it to check occasionally if there's a certain thing in the gem store you're looking for. And the conversion rate isn't too bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Let's be real here.
Someone was asking, like, oh, how much to transfer to our server without paying real money? It's like, oh, it's like 50 gold.
Oh.
Yep.
It was more like 46, and he waited for a time of day to get it at like 35 gold. But still, that's a lot of gold.
Yeah, that is a lot of gold. At least I mean,
transferring servers without paying real money for it, even if it is a lot of in-game currency,
and
whatever.
Not only that, real money. Transferring all of your characters and not just like one character hopping server.
Yep.
So that is cool.
Yeah, Year of the Bow. I have four of them as exotics. I'm up to about 11 skins sitting in my bank.
So how do you guys feel about the changes to the gem store this month?
There haven't really been changes.
I like costumes.
They added roses for Valentine's Day.
They added roses for Valentine's Day. The weekly sales stuff apparently started this month.
Are the roses still around or are they gone?
They're gone.
I didn't see them.
The roses are gone. Roses for Valentine's only. If you run around with our guild events on like Saturdays, you'll see Ellie Mash throwing them at people.
Inevitably, someone will have roses.
Yeah. But yeah, it's fun. They added a weird change for the box of fun. Speaking of fun.
And they also added new items to the Black Lion chest. There was that Quaggan backpack, and now there's a pink one and a Char backpack, which you can buy with gems. The pink Quaggan is adorable, and I want one.
I just like the fact that they have like googly eyes that spin around when you move.
Oh, awesome. Yes, and one of them's like falling off, and
yeah.
So the other nice thing about those items out of the Black Lion chest is you can sell them. So it's you don't have to spend countless hours on the Black Lion chest. You can make somebody else do that.
I'll say not just that you can sell them, it's that you can buy them.
Yeah,
true.
It is what I'm.
You can sell them on the trading post, not sell them to a vendor.
Yeah, because like I want the pink quaggin, but I don't want to deal with all the Black Lion chest BS. So I can pay like 16 gold or whatever it is currently and get it. It's pretty great.
Other than that, I think like Noob, is there anything else you're excited about for the Ryzen? Are you still playing Guild Wars 2?
SimCity and Arma 3 has sort of sat me off of Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, it's sorry folks, this has been a pretty light Guild Wars Lincoln cast. There's been a lot of cool things, but there's cool things everywhere now.
A lot of good games are coming out.
Yeah, they are.
It's weird.
This Colin has interview is pretty interesting, but he hasn't really announced.
What, we're interviewing Colin Johansson?
No.
Yes. But yeah, right now. Actually.
The end of last month, he had an interview.
Hi, Colin. How have you been doing?
It's pretty interesting. He does talk about his ideas for what's happening with World vs. World and a bunch of other stuff. But nothing really solid.
What's bummed me out is that ArenaNet hasn't said whether or not they're going to be at PAX East, because they have been in the past, but they weren't last year. Like, they actually showed off 2011, I believe, was. They showed a new demo, like, exclusive to PAX East. So I've been, like, tweeting at them every so often asking, like, hey, are you guys going to be there? Because neither you or NCSoft have said anything, but I don't know.
Well, I guess something to segue to I guess we'll wrap this up. But while I was at Emerald City Comic Con, Rhea had a meetup, which was really fun. And
who did you meet?
I talked with
We're not supposed to say the names, are we?
It was a public thing, so...
Sure.
I mean, like, it's...
No, I just want to find them on Facebook. What are their names?
Don't say
their
names.
Who's the
on Facebook. You don't want to do that to them.
Who is the balancing guy?
Izzy Cartwright?
No, sadly not Izzy. No, the new one who does PvP balancing and whatnot.
John Peters?
Yeah, John Sharp.
John Sharp?
And then the German guy who's their main PR guy with a beard.
Yeah.
I can't...
It's
late at night. I'm sorry, folks.
No, I know.
But,
okay, go on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you meet Gail Gray? That's all I want to know.
I don't think so, but they did have a whole Q&A where they had people walk up and they had a recorder and they said that if the footage was salvageable, they would they'd probably have to buy a Black Lion salvage kit to get it good.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, that's worse than my check joke.
I'm sorry, but they might see it on YouTube, which would be nice. But anyway, I will hopefully be able to get a few more people for interviews. And if so, we'll make announcements on it for you guys to give us questions to ask them.
So like Tom Cruise level.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, the guy.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson. We'll get Zach Galifianakis and we'll put some ferns up for him. Make it a back and forth interview.
Drunk Anne Hathaway.
I've heard Iron Man 3 is looking to be really fucking cool.
That's off topic.
I've been staying away from that trailer.
We're circling back around to movies.
Yeah, I mean, staying away from that trailer, but because I don't know, trailers have started ruining movies for me, so I didn't want to watch it, but
yeah,
it looks really cool.
I downloaded Lincoln last night. I need to watch that.
That's cool.
Zero Dark Thirty was like the movie that's like, okay, never based what you're going to expect from a movie on a trailer, because that trailer looks awful.
I've just stopped watching trailers.
Yeah, trailers suck.
Because I was remember that Pacific. My mind went that through.
Remember, there was this game called Guild Wars, and they had a launch trailer, and that was so weird.
Remember the launch trailer podcast?
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun.
How about the Guild Wars 1 a CGI trailer?
Oh God, I don't remember that.
That's
dating
back. That looks nothing like Guild Wars 1 whatsoever.
I think there was a dragon in that video.
I guess we'll start shutting this down. Shimboy, do you have any plugs you'd like to tell folks?
Yeah, I'll plug my site as always, plugandplaygaming.com. I haven't been writing at all, but now that SimCity is out, I'll be reviewing that come the end of the month.
How many scores are you going to give for that game?
I'm probably going to give it a 9.5, then bump it down to an 8, and then probably a 4.
Will you bring it back up again?
I don't know. That remains to be seen.
So good.
Well played. Well played, sir.
According to the plugandplaygaming.com review policy, that remains to be seen.
Yep.
Then at the end of the month, I'll be reviewing Bioshock Infinite and Durin, who sadly cannot make it today. He's playing through Tomb Raider and said he'll review it. I'll believe it when I see it posted, because he is lazier than me when it comes to writing things.
Well, I mean, in his defense, he has, like, kids and is looking for a job. And
yo, I have a job, so I don't want to hear it.
All right, anyway, fair enough.
Also, I've been streaming random-ass games on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/shinboy630. There was some Trackmania. There was some Battlefield. Still Kingdom Hearts from time to time. So, yeah, check that out. I usually leave Mumble open while I'm playing, so there's random conversations going on about anything from the game I'm playing to anime to video games to
anime.
Sports.
Well, anime.
You and Ruben, we'll talk about sports.
What anime is on
sports ball.
I thought we were New Brahma, I hate you. I hate you so much.
Yeah,
that's about it. Twitch.tv/shinboy630 and plugandplaygaming.com. And then also on my Twitch channel, the live thing at PAX in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Noob, I would be tentatively okay with a comic book thing. Having just come from Emerald City Comic Con, it's still fresh in my mind. I'm not sure if we just I can't join you on that rabbit hole of just anime.
No, like two. a mix of visual, anime, and graphic novels.
Alternative media podcast.
Yeah, right, I guess. But
Shit, that's not video games. Anything you'd like to plug?
Aren't podcasts alternative media?
Yep.
So
I think so.
Fucking meta.
Alternative media.
Meta. What is podcast? What is game?
What is game?
What is life?
Stop it.
I like to think it was binary domain. What is life for a robot?
Stop it.
Hey, plug the Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub. Join the group, play video games with us. We talk about wrestling, and recently we've been talking about weird political stuff. And
you want a SimCity that is full of radiation, you join the PC Gaming Hub.
It's actually hilarious. We'd love to have more people on. A lot of different people play all sorts of games. And I guess the thing that's been causing me to piss eat blood for the last couple of weeks and stopped, the Had a Full Boyfriend Let's Play.
Oh, God, that thing.
You can learn about
Slug. Speaking of alternative media. fuck that
and
game.
In-depth descriptions of, urine filled with blood.
If you want random, probably incorrect, possibly correct facts about Korea. Spoken aloud in Japan, so on and so forth, because we were trying to think of anything to do whilst playing that game, playing that game. Because goddamn,
the relief that was on our shoulders once that thing finished.
Yeah.
Such a disappointing ending, too.
You'll see the ending. We'll post that when this goes.
What the fuck was the ending? I don't remember.
I do, and don't worry, it's not really worth it. Oh, is my turn?
All right. It's one last thing. Is I actually Googled Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub and actually came up to a forum post. I guess Cynic is giving us his plugs, Noob, you just want to make sure that's correct. I was just like, he always says Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub, but he doesn't actually give any address or way to find it.
It's impossible to find aside from Googling.
This locked thing, don't click this. There's like this huge... No, this is not the one.
I'm not clicking it. Nothing is getting clicked, even though it's a Giant Bomb website.
So, no, you'll find it in our show notes. It's in there every week.
A rule I found with Noob Rama is never click things he links.
Yeah.
So don't just Google Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub and pick the forum post. Instead, there's Steam Group Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub that comes up first. Join the Steam Group instead, and then you can find it through there.
Yeah, fair enough. Cynic, any posts or any plugs for you?
Sure. So I want to replug the Dadcast, which you can find on tested.com/podcast. It's the first one there. Watch that if you actually want to have a good time as opposed to listening to us. Aside from that, I want to say fuck you, Nubarama, because the Fairy Tail anime was almost cancelled, but it wasn't, which is fantastic. Which is fantastic. I got a huge scare because I was like, oh my god, I love that anime. And then apparently this is the last month for it. And then the author was like, no, we're taking a break because it has to catch up to the manga.
No one that's not over five.
Support crunchyroll.com if you want more good anime heading your way.
Site that took other subs like that released for free and then charged people for it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, but whatever. Crunchyroll's pretty good. Crunchyroll's a pretty good service.
Don't watch Fairy Tail.
Fairy Tail's awesome. Right, Fairy Tail's awesome. Support that anime. I Don't. It's gonna come back. I don't care.
How can you say you love him if you can't even eat his poo? That's from Fairy Tale.
No, that's a quote from you during our Let's Play. So there's that too. Had a boyfriend. Whatever. Also, you can contact us at thelinkycast@gmail.com, at thelinkycast on Twitter. We will answer whatever you ask us to. We will never, ever have timestamps. Just in case, to get out in front of that, because there's a bunch of people who've been asking, I will never be bothered to put timestamps on this podcast.
Okay, if I go through the hard work of putting timestamps for stuff, would you put it on?
Yes,
I would. I know. That's
damn.
What I'm
I would.
Out.
I'll tell you right now, I would, but I know you will not.
If you want to, send me money, I'll do it. Let's say $5 per time.
You know what? I'd say any money will probably go towards like getting Cynic to go to PAX Prime so we can all have a meetup in Shinboy as well.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
I think that would be a more noble cause for people.
I'm not even going to PAX Australia. If that has already happened or not, I don't even know. So
you're not going to PAX Australia? What the crap?
It's in another city. It's like all the way over there.
Australia is a fairly large nation.
It's all the way over there. It's like a $90 return trip by plane. Fuck that.
But the chance of you...
I want to slap you, sir. I've traveled, I would say, halfway across my country to go to a convention, which is PAX Prime.
I'm just not a convention kind of guy. Maybe it was like down the road, I'd consider it.
I've never been to a convention in my entire life.
I guess something you should look into is Giant Bomb going to PAX Australia?
Then I would be there.
I don't think they are.
They're not. They've already confirmed they are not. But I would be there. Not this year, at least. They said that they wanted to go to Australia, but this is not the time for it, considering they're relaunching this. They relaunched the site and all that stuff. So,
yep.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
If you're going to Anime North this year, I'm probably not going to be there.
We should finish this up. That wasn't taking.
Yeah, I'm trying to finish it. I guess. Yeah, I haven't been. Every time I play a game, I'm like, I should probably be streaming this on my stream. I've been super busy. It's getting close to finals week and all that, but I will try and stream some games on twitch.tv/Thurbleton. Follow us on the Twitter, like Cynic said, at the Lincoln Cast.
Like us on Facebook.
No,
don't go to our Facebook page.
Next week, we'll if the conditions are right, we'll try and make that a live show again. But just watch, like, check the Twitter. As well as if you have any questions or just want to get a shout out, post us on there. Cynic, do we have any for this week?
Not that I know of.
I don't think it's been a quiet week.
We've had comments, but no asking for shout outs, so that's fine.
Well, if they comment, I guess.
Nah, I have to look it up.
Are there any bad comments? Like 3 out of 5 ratings?
Like and subscribe and give us 5 stars on iTunes.
You know what?
No.
If you like the show,
tell us how bad we are.
If you like the show, totally review us on iTunes. Because I just want to see if there is anyone who is willing to put in that effort to actually review us on iTunes.
Just out of morbid curiosity.
Just out of morbid curiosity. Because we have a bunch of reviews on there of like mixed ratings. And I want to see...
Make honest reviews.
Well, make it a bomb burner. If you've been listening to us for fucking 42 episodes, pop us a review just so I can see if there's anyone out there. I do have one more plug. And this is actually semi-serious, not really. If you want to know how I've been losing weight by eating 5 times a day and barely working
fucking
out.
Fucking internet ad. Oh my god.
It's probably what? Like probably smaller meals as opposed to 3 large meals?
Well, I'm actually eating about double what I used to. Which is kind of crazy. Like if you want to know what my meals are, they're like tuna sandwiches. I fucking like... egg sandwiches, a bunch of eggs, vegetables. Like
Lincoln Cast may not be for everyone.
That aside, if you just wanted to see something fucking a really good YouTube channel, Strength Camp on YouTube is fantastic. It's about working out, doing weights. It's a lot of weightlifting advice there. And he's not the person who goes, you need to do this to do X. He gives you options. He gives you sources. He gives you books to read. Ways to get more intelligent about your body and working out and that kind of stuff. Ways to inform yourself as to why you are fat and what you can change about yourself to make yourself fit. Rather than...
Why are you fat? Because the world hates you.
Because rather food than is delicious.
Just fucking going, hey, this is how you do it. Because there is no actual fixed way for people. Everyone is different. So Strength Cap on YouTube. Definitely, definitely give that a check out. So.
Everyone is different.
Yep.
All right.
Except weirdos without any arms and legs.
Thanks for listening and fuck off.
Hey, guys. Wow. Why do Irishmen always bring the money to the bank?
No. No.
Why?
Because it's always Dublin.
No.